You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, talking to Packers, our green and gold analyst, Paul Emig, joining us. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Bill, doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. So give me your thoughts as the flurry of free agent activity began yesterday for the Packers, and how much better or not so much better you think they got.
Well, they got a lot better. And now they added depth. You know, I was thinking about this, Bill, and you and I have talked in the past about which portion of their roster is truly the most lacking. And, you know, I have contended in the past that I would put the Packers' best eight players up against any team's best eight players. Rodgers, Davante Adams, David Bakhtiari, Corey Lindsley, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander. I'd have to go through that list that we've been through in the past. But they have, I think, a pretty good sort of upper part of their roster. I think where they've really been depleted is sort of in that 10th to 25th best player on the roster, where you've had guys filling way too big of roles that they couldn't handle. Is Za'Darius Smith, is Preston Smith, are they going to make up for having missed out on Khalil Mack? No. But when you look at the money that they got, and I put this on Twitter last night, what Brian Gutekunst did, you and I talked Monday about the possibility of D4. Mm-hmm. What they were able to do is they got Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith for the same price as what the 49ers got D Ford for, and that was without giving up a second-round pick like San Francisco did to get D Ford. So right. For me, that's a win for Brian Gutekunst. I think that's a good play there. Adrian Amos, I mean, that is a really, really solid pickup. I've been reading all of the information from Pro Football Focus, some of the other scouting services, and I think if people are expecting to see the splashy plays, expecting to see really big takeaway numbers and forced fumbles and interceptions, they're going to be disappointed, because that's not the game that Adrian Amos played in Chicago. What he is going to be is a super dependable guy who, according to Pro Football Focus, has graded out as an elite in their elite category, because he's just so darn solid. He's always in the right place. He's always making the right play. He's never getting burned. He's never missing assignments. He is like Mr. Dependable. So that might be, and I saw, I mean, there are some grades across, the NFL scouting services that don't love the Za'Darius Smith and the Preston Smith signings, but I have yet to see anything that has had anything negative to say about getting Adrian Amos at 4 years, $36 million, with a cap number this year of like $5.25 million. So that would seem like, if you wanted to like pick out a best deal, at least on paper, it seems to be that. And I think what they did with the two Smiths, Za'Darius and Preston, is they went with a quantity play a little bit, Bill. I think rather than saying, okay, we missed out on Khalil Mack, let's not try to pretend that another Khalil Mack is available this offseason, which is why I think if you had just signed Za'Darius Smith, you might say to yourself, okay, what else? There has to be a follow-up move to that. Well, the follow-up move to that, because I think this was you need to kind of get two for the price of one, and if you compare that to D Ford, I think that's what happened. You got two Smiths for the price of one D Ford, not to mention keeping your own second-round draft pick. So, Bill, I mean, it generated excitement. It generated buzz. It added some obvious depth to the Packers' defense right out of the gate. I think it kind of helped fill in that middle portion of the roster. You know, again, none of these guys are going to chalk in, I think, as top 10 players on the Packers in 2019. I don't think any of them are single-handedly that important by themselves, but as a sum, it helps the team immediately, and it helps them not have to go into this draft and be as, you know, need-focused. I think now you can be more laid back. You can take the draft board as it comes, and hey, if, you know, Noah Fant or T.J. Hockenson, two tight ends from Iowa, are there at 12, now you can do that and not feel like, oh, we got to take an edge rusher. So, I mean, again, Brian Gutekunst, I think, we won't know for a couple years, really, how this all plays out, but I think you have to applaud and have to like his aggressiveness, and I don't know anybody who could look at this and say, you know, what are you doing? I mean, this is finally some activity, and I think the players he added, Bill, 25, 26, and 26 years old, respectively, on defense, these are guys just entering their second contracts. All three of them, by the way, were in the 2015 draft class, a draft class that, by the way, I tweeted this yesterday, Bill, the Packers now have zero players on the roster from the 2015 draft 4 years ago, but they have three guys in their roster now, the two Smiths and Adrian Amos, who are in that same draft class. So rather than drafting and developing their own guys from 2015, they've gone outside the market, brought in some 25- and 26-year-olds, and kind of plugged in a draft class that they sorely missed on 4 years ago.
So Za'Darius Smith, I'm going back and forth with fans on Twitter and email and such that say, hey, look, it's very similar, reminiscent of, say, a Nick Perry. He has an okay career, and then it just happens to be a contract year when he has this bust-out year, and, sure. We're just getting Nick Perry 2.0. And my argument to that is, look, I haven't seen this guy play up close and personal, so let's wait till we make any judgments till you get to August, September, October before we're going to say that. Is there any concerns in your mind that the guys that they picked up had career years and a contract year?
I mean, yes, kind of. My backstory to the Za'Darius Smith part of that is that the Packers have had interest in him for years. They wanted to trade for him a couple years ago. Then they bring in Milt Hendrickson from Baltimore. Brian Gutekunst adds him to pretty much be one of his right-hand men in the Green Bay front office this offseason. They know Za'Darius Smith very, very well. This isn't like a recent infatuation. This isn't like they just met each other and they just found him out and they're just like, oh my gosh, love at first sight. And then 2 years later, you're like, nah, he really wasn't that good. They've known about him for a long time. They've liked him for a long time. And they literally just brought in a guy from Baltimore's front office who knows Za'Darius Smith incredibly well. So if you want to rest comfortably on that aspect, for me, that is very comforting. I think that's a very redeeming part of that signing. Preston Smith, Bill, I mean, people have talked about, like, you know, sack numbers and what does that mean. And Preston Smith, if he had a quote-unquote career year, he only had 4 sacks in 2018. Well, what Preston Smith is, and again, I'm more reliant on, you know, the people who sit there and study film for hours and hours and hours as their full-time, you know, life, hobby, and job, and the people of Pro Football Focus. And what I've come away with and just tweeted out a little bit ago is Preston Smith is an excellent, like excellent, coverage linebacker who, yes, is a pretty decent pass rusher, but Preston Smith is an all-around linebacker. They're going to call him edge, Bill. I think technically you're going to kind of see him listed as OLB and edge next to his, you know, roster on the depth chart. But right. he's an all-around player. And if you need someone who can drop back and cover and you want to disguise some stuff, if you're Mike Pettine, Preston Smith, Bill, over the past 4 years, has a passer rating against him when targeted of 55. When you throw at Preston Smith in coverage, your pass rating is 55, a.k.a. terrible. Okay, that is how good he is in coverage. So I think they each have their different strengths. And, again, I think they do complement each other quite well. I think if they had each individually, if you had just signed Preston Smith or just signed Za'Darius Smith, I think you'd kind of be left with a incomplete puzzle piece, but I think together they make a lot of sense together.
Talking with Paul Emig, our Green Gold analyst, and Paul, so, you know, to me, I thought when they made the moves, which weren't huge, splashy, but for the Green Bay Packers, the multitude of moves were something that we have not seen in the past, and obviously you overspend mm-hmm. just a tad bit for some of the, some of the free agents that are out there. However, When you look at now the NFL draft, you say, I don't have to be as aggressive in trying to find holes to fill because I can just allow the best available players now to kind of come to me, right?
Correct. And I think that is, if not the headline to the moves that happened yesterday, it is certainly, you know, the secondary headline. They can now, again, as I said in that opening part, you know, if Fant or Hockenson at tight end are there at 12, if Metcalf at wide receiver is there at 12, if something that's a need but not like an overwhelming need is there at 12, and I don't think Brian Gutekunst would have not done best player available anyway. I think he's a strong enough draft person to not be, you know, lured away from taking the best player available, because almost always that'll kick you, you know, if you make that mistake and you just take a player at a position of need as opposed to best player available. So I don't think he would have done it anyway. But now I think, Bill, if you and I are sitting there together on round one of draft night and the first pick is an offensive player, I think it's a lot easier to say, well, yeah, you know, that's fine, because they have that luxury now that even if they do go edge rusher in the first round, whether it's at pick 12 or at pick 30, you don't need that player, that rookie, to come in on day one and be a 80% of the snaps starter. That's the luxury here, is that it doesn't mean don't draft an edge rusher. In fact, you probably should still in the, you know, if you look at the Packers' first three picks, all in the top 44 picks of the draft, they have three of them. You really, I mean, if all things are equal, you should really come out of there with an edge rusher if you're the Packers. You know, again, best player available and all those other obvious asterisks, but you should come out with an edge rusher. But what it lets you not have to do is have to force that guy into action if he's not ready. And if between having Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and Kyler Fackrell, I mean, I'm not saying all three of those guys combined are going to make up the league's best edge-rushing trio. They're not. It's still a group that could use an influx of young quality talent, first-round, you know, quality caliber-type guys, but you don't have to now. You're not forced to go safety at 12 and edge-rusher at 30. And, you know, especially if Mo Wilkerson comes back, as is being speculated, they don't have to go defensive line at 30. It's a luxury that you've given yourself, Bill. And I think if, you know, as we all know, draft night and draft weekend is really fun. And we look at these prospects and we say, oh, here's how he plugs the hole here and here's how he plugs the hole there. But when you're bringing in 20, 21, 22-year-old kids into a locker room and saying, hey, you have to go be a stud from day one. Every once in a while it happens. Jaire Alexander came in from day one as a stud. 3 years later, Kenny Clark is really, really good. But when he came into the league a bit undersized and only 20 years old, you know, he wasn't ready from day one to be an instant contributor, even though he was a first-round pick. I think now you can kind of get to that point where you can groom the next guy, and you can say, hey, even though the 2015 draft for Ted Thompson was terrible, and I mean terrible, that was a miserable 2015 draft, you've now added a guy in their mid-20s who, to your point about contract years and having their career years on their contract years, yeah, well, that makes sense because they finally hit their mid-20s. You know, it takes, in most cases, Bill, it just takes 3-4 years for guys to get strong enough, big enough, talented enough, experienced enough to really have a breakthrough year. And so now when you add that influx of talent, you're adding these guys in their mid-20s, it lets you not have to rely so heavily on the 21-year-old kid you just picked up. And I think that really, if there's, you know, again, the biggest takeaway is that they added all these free agents, and oh my gosh, it's a new era. For me, the second biggest takeaway is that, yeah, you can go into the draft with a much different approach now and not have to force feed a rookie into a defense or an offense, you know, and force them to play major, major, major snaps right out of the gate. And that's, I think, the biggest credit that Gutekunst gets from yesterday is that they can now have a much more confident, more laid-back approach to the draft because they don't have to expect so much from so many young players at positions of need.
Paul, always good stuff. We'll chat again later in the week, and I'm sure that everybody's going to be holding their breath and maybe in anticipation of another move or some indication as to which direction the Packers are going to go, and we're now going to focus on the draft. So good stuff, man, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That's Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.